All right, so let's look at Acts chapter 13. Amen. And we'll look at verse 13 and kind of read on down a little bit. Amen. I don't know how many Brent have, but I'm going to just go until they wave and tell me they don't have no more. Amen. But let's look at Acts 13:13. The Bible says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people, of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, saints, we've been in the book of Acts, amen, and we're going line by line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And right now, amen, we're looking at chapter 13, which is a switch that happens in the dispensation where we go from Hebrews to Gentiles, amen. We've been covering Paul's missionary journey, amen. We've deciphered why God chose Barnabas and Paul, because they ministered to the Lord, because they fasted, amen, and because the Holy Ghost was leading this whole thing. And last time, amen, we looked at how the church, well, past Sundays, we looked at how the church ordained them and laid hands on them and how they sailed to Cyprus, amen, and began to minister on that island. And we saw the false prophet Bar Jesus, amen. And last Sunday, we picked up in verse 13, and we talked about Paul and his company. Somebody say, Paul and his company. All right. And in that text, when we talked about Paul, we saw a transfer happen. Amen. It was a transfer of authority. We saw that Barnabas was the leader. Amen. But something happened in verse 13. Throughout the Bible, amen, it was always Barnabas going to get Paul, Barnabas ministering to Paul and bringing Paul and discipling Paul. And then 13:13, amen, Paul passes Barnabas up. Amen. And we just told you, amen, that that happens in the Christian walk. From Barnabas' position, amen, we learn that sometimes people do pass you up in the faith. And it's either because of your decisions, amen, or it's because of their calling. Either way, you got to be able to stomach that. You got to be able to swallow that. You got to be able to accept that. Amen. Sometimes people you brought to church, you brought to the Lord, you prayed the sinner's prayer with, amen, gonna grow at a rapid rate and get to the place you are and pass you by. You see? And you gotta be like Barnabas. You gotta be all right with that. You see? You gotta stay in your lane. You gotta run your race. You gotta fulfill your calling. Amen. And that's what it's all about. You see? That's what it's all about. Not everybody could be a Michael Jordan, but Some people could be a Phil Jackson. You can coach him. You understand what I'm saying? You see? Now, from Paul's perspective, amen, we challenge you, especially our younger generation, be greater. Because this precept also applies to our children. We can come to a place where we raise them, we feed them, we clothe them, we shelter them, we house them, we hand them down a godly legacy, and we wake up one morning and they're closer to God than us. They know more of his word than us. They know more of his righteous judgment than us. They're wiser than us. Under different circumstances and pressures, they act better than us. Amen. They can pass us by. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It means that we've done our job. Anybody hear me up here? It means we've done our job. Amen. And if this baton passing of going from faith to faith, of progressing through the generations, if we continue on this mark, amen, who knows where we'll be in 40, 50 years. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Hallelujah. So it was Paul and his company now. This morning we want to cover two more points. We want to talk about Perga and we want to talk about John's departing. Amen. As we talk about Perga, it's going to merely be a factual, geographical, amen, even Greek mythological point, amen, and I'm going to try to pull a few little precepts and rhema applications out of that, but point three is where we're going to want to be this morning, amen. But let's just look at point two and see what the Holy Spirit got for us. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, lead him. Thank you, Lord God. Looking at verse 13 of Acts, amen, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Pamphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. Now, saints of God, I got a few pictures for you. Perga is north of Cyprus. Remember, amen, Paul and his company, they're on the island of Cyprus. They've gone from Salamis to Paphos, amen, traversing the whole width of this particular island. But from Paphos, verse 13 tells us, they set sail and go to a place called Perga. Somebody say Perga. All right. And Perga is located, amen, if you took a map, amen, Perga is located in what we would call modern-day Turkey. Amen. Somebody say Turkey. Not like Thanksgiving Turkey, the country Turkey. All right, and that's where Perga is located, amen. And Turkey's been in the news a lot lately, amen, for the northern invasion of Syria, but that's not my business to talk about right now, amen. We're going to talk about Paul in Perga, amen. And Perga is 12 miles inland, amen, and it's in a province called Pamphylia, amen. Pamphylia is more like the state, amen. We're in Lafayette, but the state we live in is called what? Louisiana. So they're in the city of Perga in this particular region, this particular province, which is called Pamphylia. All right. Now, Perga was a very pagan place, y'all. Just like Cyprus, amen, which was the headquarters of Zeus, amen, and Aphrodite, amen. Perga was the headquarters of the false god Diana. Amen. Diana. The Romans called her Diana. The Greeks called her Artemis. Amen. And y'all remember Diana when Paul goes to Ephesians. Ephesus was also under control of the false goddess Diana. Diana had a huge temple in Perga, amen. And once again, I'm not talking about Diana Ross, amen. We're talking about the false god Diana. And she had a huge temple in Perga. It was right outside the city. And people would visit Perga just for this temple, all right? They not only flocked to Perga for the temple, but every year around August 13th, amen, they would have a giant festival. Anybody know what a festival is out here in Southwest Louisiana? They would have a giant festival, amen, to honor Diana, the false goddess, amen. Diana was the false goddess of the moon. She was the false goddess also of fertility, childbearing, children. So if you wanted children, you wouldn't go to the Most High. You wouldn't go to the one, the Bible says, children is a heritage of the Lord. Amen. The fruit of the womb is his reward, the Bible says. They would go to a false deity, most probably a devil, wrapped up in human form. Amen. And they would ask this devil, amen, for children. Amen. That's what paganism is when you go to the wrong place for the right thing. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. Tell your neighbor you got to go to God for children. All right. All right. Diana was also the false god of animals. And so if you was in the woods, Brother Joe, Minister Sam, they would call on Diana to help their hunting capabilities. Amen. But my Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. It's not Diana. Amen. It's Yahweh who owns the woods. It's Yahweh who owns the animals. It's him who created in the beginning. Amen. And gave birth to all the animals and their kinds. Amen. That's what the pagans do. That's not what the Hebrews do. You see? So she was the false god of animals and woods and hunting. Amen. And as we look at our world today, we can still see pagan influences. All right? Because you got to understand what they would do, these Greeks and these Romans, amen, they had a god for every part of life. Whether you was hunting, whether you was cooking, whether you wanted to have children, whether you was going to war, it was always a different false god and demigod that you would call upon to help you in your particular situation. All right? This reminds me of the Catholic Church. This is the Church of the Gentiles, Hebrews. And the Church of the Gentiles looked the way the Gentiles act. The Gentiles prayed to different false gods to get what they wanted. It is the same way when you're praying to St. Joseph and St. Peter and St. Barnabas and Saint. They're praying to all the saints, but they're not praying to the Savior. Anybody hear me up in here? I'm not here to offend nobody, but if you get offended, it's okay. But I'm here to convict you. Amen. That church is a product, amen, of pagan ways. You got to understand me here. All right? All right? Constantine took Christian faces and he just put it over pagan places. Are you with me here so far? And so instead of praying to Diana, now they all look in the mirror now. Are you hearing me up in here? All right? Our Bible tells us there is no mediator between God and man, but the man, Christ Jesus, who's the righteous one. Hebrews, this church was never for you. These pagan ways were never for you. Our God has always been according to Deuteronomy and the Torah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Yahweh is his name. Yahshua is his son. And he is the only way to heaven. Are you understanding what I'm talking about here? There's some things that's not for us. And as we awaken, amen, it's going to become evident, all right? The world is still under pagan influence, but we will be different again. We will be the only monotheistic people on the planet, and those that want to worship the true God shall come and grab hold of our skirts, telling us, take us to your God, for I know that God is with you. Come on, give the Lord a shout, somebody. Now listen to me good, especially the men in here. Especially the men up in here. Man of God, a pagan holiday is coming in a few days. Some of y'all buying y'all candy and buying outfits already. Listen to me. Listen to me. Take them outfits, put them in the trash. All right? Take that candy and put it in the pantry. The Hebrews ain't never celebrated no Halloween. Halloween is pagan. It's Greek. It's not for us. And it's not for our God. Dressing up like some little ghosts and goblins and devils and demons and witches and people that's not you. Listen to me, man. This thing is rooted in Greek mythology. This thing is rooted in Roman, amen, a false idol worship. The Bible tells us be separate and touch not the unclean thing. The Bible tells us come out from among them. You are the people of God. You're not the people of Hades. You're not the people of Diana. You're the people of Yahweh. And we do what thus said Yahweh and not what the Greeks and the Romans do. And I don't care what your children say. That's why I'm talking to the men. Man of God, it's time for you to stand up and get some courage for the right thing. You got courage for the wrong thing. You want to fuss for your football team, your basketball team. You want to fuss about this and about a LeBron and about Kobe. Would somebody please stand up for the Lord in the households? Would somebody open their mouth and say, we turning our light off for this pagan holiday. They not coming to my house. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Oh, God. I wish I had some Joshuas up in here. Bold for the wrong thing and not the right thing. Be a man, why don't you? Be a man of God, why don't you? You look at them children in the face and you say, we're not going out there. For wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. Broad is the gate. But everybody else doing it. Everybody else going to hell in a handbasket. You think we going over there too? But straight is the gate. And narrow is the way. And few there be that find it. My children, we are part of that few. We will march to the beat of a different drummer. We going to be different and live different. And that's why we're going to be blessed in a different way than all of them. Because when God look down and want to bless somebody, he going to see my house faithful. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, my God. Do this for God this Halloween. Do this for God. You've done all the other years for your children. You have done all the other years for the school system. Can we give 2020 to God this year? Can we say, God, all these years we done did Hades, but this year gonna be your year. Try him. Test him and see. How many you gonna give to Hades? How many have you given to him? I'm not judging you. I was out there too. But listen to me. You want candy? Your kids want candy? Go to the store and buy them some candy. You ain't got no money, come by, Pastor. I'm going to give you $5. But stop worshiping the devil. God, I'm running around for some candy. Candy, candy, candy. You see, Esau sold his birthright for a little bit of something in his stomach. What you selling this October 31st? What you giving up? You going to be a Jacob or an Esau? You going to be a child of God or a child of Diana and Hades? Whence come this Halloween? And what is the root of this thing? The root of this thing is in Greek mythology. That when people died, amen, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. See, it's wrong already. You see, when something has a bad root, it has a bad fruit. Even in the legal field, we say it's fruit of a poisonous tree. So it's rooted in Hades. And it said when people die, amen, they would cross into Hades. The good would go to the good part and the bad would go to the bad part. But once a year, Once a year, the people would have a chance to come back into the land of the living. Now, we know our Bible don't tell us that. See, Lazarus was down there in the parable with the rich man. He said, there's a gulf fixed between us, and we can't pass. Listen, if you're looking for someone to rise from the dead, he rose 2,000 years ago on the third day. Hey, God, that's the only one you should be looking for. But let's I digress. So the loved ones, amen, would be able to pierce the veil and come back. And this is where we get all the necromancy. Pastor, slow down. What's necromancy? It's the worship of the dead. It's the ability to talk to the dead. You're going by Sister White, Sister Cleo, to talk to Leroy. That ain't Leroy. That's a demon. All right? That's a demon. That's a devil. You see, but that's rooted in Halloween. That's what you go and celebrate, the dead coming back. Ain't nothing a demon want more, a devil want more, than to pretend to be somebody you love. Because you're going to listen to that devil. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible said we shouldn't be going to witches and warlocks and consulting with diviners of evil spirits. The Bible asks the question, shall not a people seek unto their God? If you want to know something about tomorrow, you go to the one who holds tomorrow in his hands. That devil can't tell you nothing about tomorrow. Devils don't know the future. You go to the one who declares the end from the beginning. You go to the one who's called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the eternal God who spoke time into existence. There's no father time. There's no mother earth. It's all pagan. And if you listen closely, Mother Nature, you listen close, it's all over the place. The TV shows we watch, the news we watch, it's always father time and Mother Nature said. That's rooted in Greek mythology. That's Gaia and Kronos. That's Greek mythology, big sister. You remember that? You see? But if your eyes not open, you're never going to see. And you're going to be playing around with idols and not even know it. Listen to me. I want to correct. Hey, God, I want to recalculate you this morning. You know how your GPS recalculating? We recalculating you this morning. Because a lot of y'all are in idolatry this morning. And Father God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with that. Get out of these people religious systems. Don't participate in no Halloween. That's why they would leave the candy out in front the door. Because their loved ones would come back for that day. And they would leave their favorite candy. What was it? A Snicker? A Butterfinger? A Tootsie Roll? What was it? What was it that they liked so much? So we're going to put it out there, and then ain't no dead people coming back to get that candy. Them little greedy little children with them dirty hands, they getting that candy. You say, Pastor, but it's homeless. No, friends. No, friends. Listen to me, man. We serve a jealous God. We serve a jealous God. And imagine Tyrone, he back there in the days of Paul and the Greeks all coming out for this Hades day. You see? And he fast forward. We got more light, more knowledge. We got a whole Bible. We call ourselves the people of the living God. He looked back then, that's they with their little bags going. He looked today and they got their little bags going. Different names, different excuses. But the same activity. That's the way God sees it. He said they still worshiping devils. They still listening to demons. Oh, no, friend. But Pastor, should we do something else? Should we have fall festival? Nah, we having nothing. You have nothing. You don't have nothing. You don't give a substitute for the devil's devices. You don't do that. You got a bunch of churches do that. They want a substitute. All it turns into is Halloween. God looks down and he sees them in Perga with their bags getting candy. He looks down at the churches for Fall Fest with their bags getting candy. And the root is to celebrate the dead coming from Hades. You see? Be separate means that we turn our face to it. While they all out there, we close our blinds. You know, children, we're not participating in that. Because if God came back in judgment tonight, the blood is on our door and we on the inside. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And woman of God, amen, I want to talk to you now. You be bold as well. Them children are going to come with little tears in their eyes. But everybody else is doing it. And Johnny's going. Mama, we don't even have to dress up. Oh, we just go and get the candy. You tell that baby, first of all, you don't need no candy. But if you want to soften it a little bit, put that baby in the car. And y'all go to Target. Walmart, or wherever else. And you know what? We're going to sell you some candy if you want. I'm just joking. Or wherever else you want to get some candy from, you put them some candy, and y'all go home. All right? Enough with pagan ways. Come on, give y'all some glory. But that's what Perga was all about. It was a pagan place. It worshipped Diana, or in the Greek they call her Artemis, and so, amen, this Artemis was the daughter of Zeus, the twin sister of Apollo, amen. She was the moon false god, and he was the false god of the sun. And so, y'all, Paul is entering this pagan place, all right? It's a hotbed of paganism. It really reminds me of Lafayette in New Orleans, and I'll show you why here in a second, all right? And so, amen, it's just a place full of idolatry, amen. And it was one of the reasons, amen, me and First Lady, amen, had loved Baton Rouge in relation to Lafayette, amen. The idolatry in Lafayette makes this place hard to penetrate for the Word of God. Because they trust everything but the Word of God. And you know your people, you can open the Bible and show them in the Word of God. But they still gonna go back to their tradition. You see? And that's what Perga was. And that's what Lafayette is. You see? This city was founded upon idolatry. The original founder, the Moutons of this city, amen, built this city with slave, amen, money, amen, slave land, of course, amen. But when they set out to establish Vermilionville, which was what Lafayette was, amen, they gave two pieces of property downtown. They gave, the Moutons donated the property where our current courthouse was. Well, current courthouse is, amen. But they said that, amen, we're going to donate another piece of property and we're going to build a church right across from that courthouse. That church is St. John Church with all them different saints and idols and stuff like that. That's the foundation of our city. You know, slave money, Confederate generals and racism. That's why the statue is downtown. That's the Mouton statue downtown. So I tell you to vote, yeah, and voting is good. But in order to change something, you got to pluck it up by the root. So Lafayette is not going to change until we get to the root. The false religion gotta come up. The racism and the Confederacy and all that's got to come up. You got to pull that up. Then Lafayette's gonna change. And I got good news for you. It is gonna change. You understand what I'm saying? It is gonna change. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's coming up. It's coming up. Yeah. See, because it started with knowledge. See, when we planted this church, we came back, me and First Lady, God said, learn about your area. He said, don't you dare minister in an area that you don't know nothing about. And I'm like, God, but I was born here. You could be born somewhere and not know the root systems of that place. So he took us to the museums down here. Did you know that there was a Lafayette Museum that teach you the history about this city? You got to go to that museum. You got to look around. Sure, it's not going to be our faces in there, but that's all right. That's all right. Our faces was in the back. Our faces was the one that provided the financial income to give birth to this city. And the UL, amen, university, that slave labor property, that university is built. Oh, y'all don't want to hear nothing about it. Oh, God have mercy. Y'all want to hear about it. Listen, these brown hands built Lafayette. Listen to me now. You got to get to the root before you minister in a place. It's the only way to be effective. See? Only way to be effective. Amen. I don't know why I'm prophetically talking about this. You see? Somebody say Perga. So, man, when I saw Paul coming to this place called Perga, I got excited, Lord. I said, oh, God, this is just what me and First Lady just walk into. It's just, man, Paul is about to show us how to do this right here. Paul is about to preach revival, man, and all the idols about to come down. Man, something is about to go down. But to my dismay, when I looked at my Bible, we don't hear nothing about Paul in Perga. The very next sentence is just talking about John the Pardon, and we're going to get to that when we get to it, probably next Sunday. But there's nothing said about Paul and Perga, you know? And I say, God, what's happening? I need to see him preach in that place. I need to see these idols and these pagan ways be brought down. I say, God, what happened? So I opened my commentaries up. Like Phil said, I opened my secret scrolls up, you know? Found an old historian on Paul, William Ramsey, and he suggested that Paul was ready to preach at Perga, willing to preach at Perga, but when he got there, Paul got sick. And not just any sickness, but Paul caught malaria. See, like I told you, this place was kind of like New Orleans. Located on the coast, low-lying, very hot, very humid. And when you get a place that's close by water, and it's hot and it's humid, you're going to get a whole bunch of mosquitoes. Anybody know about mosquitoes in Lafayette? Thank God for the cool weather. The mosquitoes was getting big, man. Almost put a hem in my pants. I'm like, what in the world? Just want to save y'all up. So listen. So Paul messed around, caught malaria from the mosquitoes out there. Amen. Perga was just like a New Orleans. So right when I'm waiting for Paul to just, with his theology and the power of God, tear down Perga and his false ways, they got to rush Paul out of the city. He get there, y'all, and he have to leave quickly. You see, Paul knew that one of the best ways of dealing with malaria was to get out of the low, hot, humid areas and get yourself into some altitude. But the humidity is different, the air is different, and most importantly, no more mosquitoes, all right? And so Paul finds himself not being able to preach in this place that needs him almost the most. You say, Pastor, but give me some scripture. How we know Paul was sick, and how we know that he couldn't really preach in Perga like William Ramsey is saying, you see? Well, the very next place that Paul went when he rushed out of Perga, he went into the province of a place that we call Galatia. Galatia, all right? Anybody ever heard that word before, Galatia? There's a book in the Bible called what? And Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he wrote it, amen, understanding that he left Perga and went to Galatia. When he gets to Galatia, now I just told you he was sick in Perga, right? When he get to Galatia, what he's going to be when he first get there? Sick. He's going to be sick. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and 13. Just stay with me. We're doing a little Bible work here. Galatians 4 and 13. Y'all already there, huh, Brent? All right. 4 and 13. All right. Paul says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. That infirmity of the flesh, if we saw it in the NLT, Sambu, if you could pull it up in the NLT, that would be great. Or the NIV, it would be great. What Paul is saying right there is, you know that I was sick when I preached the gospel to y'all first. He was sick, man. Paul was sick. And I'm talking about really sick. Amen. Go to verse 14. Because people die from malaria. He say, in my temptation, which was in my flesh, my sickness, amen, you despise not, nor rejected, but you receive me as a what? As an angel of God. Paul was sick in front of them people, still preaching Jesus. And Paul said, y'all treated me good. Look at verse 15. Paul says, amen, wherein is the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. One of the side effects of malaria was that it would affect your vision. Ooh. It would affect your vision. Amen. And Paul, amen, we tell in the scriptures, always had a little vision problem. People would write his letters from not like the other apostles who didn't know letters. No. But because of Paul's vision problem. That's why he would sign the letters. He'd say, you see how large I have written to you with my own hand. Paul had a vision problem. And that vision problem might have stuck with him. Amen. In fact, when we look at 2 Corinthians 12, pull up 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. That malaria with the vision problem could be what Paul was talking about when he described what he was going through as a thorn in his flesh. Five Bible scholars, they loving this right now. They loving this right now. They love it because we are doing a biographical sketch of Paul right here. We're looking at him. His ministry started, amen. He gets to Perga, he gets sick. He got to run out of Perga. He go to Galatia, amen. But he still got this malaria on him. He get up there in these high altitudes, amen, hoping to feel better, but he's still not feeling better. The malaria gets worse. It even affects his eyes. And Paul, while he's healing everybody else, watch this. He's healing everybody else. God through him, the power of God through him is healing people around him, but he's sick in his own body. Isn't that something? Somebody say, a thorn in my flesh. You see, but sometimes you could be sick. The power of God on you and you could be sick. And it's not because of what you've done, but because of where God's trying to get you. Oh, God have mercy. Hey! Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God trying to get you somewhere. For some reason, God didn't want Paul in Perga. You say, move on. Sometimes we go through trouble, we go through heartache, we even go through physical ailments, and we're saying, why, God? And God's saying, wait a while, I'm going to show you. I'm trying to move you somewhere. But Paul gives another reason in 2 Corinthians 12 why he had this thorn in the flesh. Anybody want to know? Let's look at it here. 12, amen. Looking at verse 7, Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why, Paul? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, I was given this thorn in my flesh to keep me humble. So I wouldn't be lifted up. So I wouldn't think myself too good. So I wouldn't think my life too good. So I wouldn't think, because of the abundance of revelations, the visions, that ain't nobody got visions like Paul. Paul was taken to the third heaven. You're not hearing me up in. Paul said, I done heard and seen some things that it's not even lawful for me to tell y'all. But Paul said, lest I be exalted. Lest I get the big head. God did something for me that hurt me, that was going to help me in the long run. Ooh. Kevin, this ain't baby theology right here. This ain't new church theology here. The new church would never tell you that God will hurt you to help you. But my Bible says it. He said, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You see? A thorn in the flesh. Do you have a thorn in your flesh this morning? Is there something that's bothering you? Got you uncomfortable? Something that if you didn't have going on in your life right now, life would be perfect. Life would be like a box of chocolates. But you got something that's just not right. And boy, I tell you, you could be having a good day, hallelujah, and everything else could be working out, hallelujah, but that something is still there, a thorn in the flesh. Anybody ever been hunting or been cleaning up in a yard and got a thorn in your hand or in your body before? And the worst ones are the ones you can't see. And here you are looking with your good eye, you're putting on glasses, you're trying to see, you're asking your wife to come see, and y'all can't seem to find it. And sometimes them thing will last a week or two in your hand. And you think it's gone, but you touch that spot. Ah! A thorn in my flesh. There's places in our lives like that, that we can't get to, we can't reach, we can't fix. Nobody can fix it. But God. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? And the problem is, sometimes God won't fix it till he uses it to fix you. Woo! I'm telling you, Paul was going through. He was going through. He had that malaria. His eyesight was messed up. And the Bible says, going down in 2 Corinthians 12, hey God, in verse 8, he said, but this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Pastor, what's thrice? Seemed like a mixture of three and rice. Somebody say thrice. Thrice. What Paul is saying, I prayed three times for this, man. And the three might just be an abstract number, but what he's trying to say is, I've been bombarding heaven for God to get me out this situation. You ever cried and prayed for God to do something? God, just do it, God. Fix it. But sometimes he won't fix it. I'm here to tell you, when God won't fix it, he got a reason why he's not fixing it. For Paul, it was to move him through Perga. They could have killed Paul in Perga. You never know. For Paul, it was to keep him humble, to stay low. Paul don't get the big head. All right? For us, it might be to get us out of some sin that we're playing with, some addiction, some loose area in our life. Everything else is right, but you got this one precious thing, a besetting sin, that God's saying, listen, I'm ready for you to move from this. For Paul, it was pride. It could be pride in your area. It could be jealousy in your area. It could be gossip in your area. It could be women in your area, men in your area. Whatever it is, sometimes God will touch us to get us to move. Now, in this world, we ain't got no clapping. We ain't got no clapping. Ain't nobody, everybody like, you know, like, ooh, Pastor, that's scary. I thought y'all like Halloween. The good news is that when he touched you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning light. When he touched you, trouble don't last always. When he touched you, the Lord never afflicts willingly. He don't go through it. He don't put you through it because he's a glutton for pain or agony or hurt. No. It's like the scripture say, our first lady. After I'm tried, after I go through the fire, I'm going to put you through the fire, that after I'm tried, after I go through the fire, I will come out as what? As gold. It's to try you, to perfect you. You see? We be patient under God. First lady told her ladies, we got to let patience have her perfect work. Stop kicking against the goat. Stop fighting the thorn. Stop digging up your flesh around it, trying to find it. You're going to find it when God wants you to find it, but you got to let it work. Oh, God have mercy. Are you letting your trouble work for you? See, because trouble can work for you or work against you. You know, growing up, one of the worst things to do when mama was whipping you was to somehow either try to run, lock yourself in a room, oh, Lord, or try to fight back. Ticey, would you mind telling the people about trying to fight back when you get a whipping? Would you like a microphone? No, no, she didn't know. She said, I'm going to tell y'all later. You don't fight back against carrying me. You know, that's a praise y'all, you know. Some of y'all fighting your whipping. And if you think fighting carry me is something, try fighting the Most High. You got to lay down. You got to lay down. You got to surrender. See, anybody that got dogs understand that your dog get to an age where they begin to smell themselves. They get big. They're not a puppy no more. They teeth grow. Amen. First lady, you shared that part. Thank you, Lord. But those of us that know dogs understand that the dog mentality is different a little bit than man. A dog is a pack animal. And in the pack, you always got the alpha. The dog, as it grows up, is always trying to test to see who the alpha is. And men of God, that's the way it's going to be in our houses, too. Them children always want to test who the alpha is. Oh, Noel, you the alpha or what? Who the alpha is? You know what I'm saying? So let's get back to the dogs. So the dogs want to, and you'll be playing with them one day and they get rough on you. They'll bite you or whatever. You know, we was just playing. Like, why are you using like real strength on me? So it get to a place where you got to show your dog and you want to show him early. If you show him early, he never going to test you again. So me, I like to mess with my dogs too. So when they get rough like that, I grab them and I show them. I get a little unorthodox sometimes. There's been times I bit my dog back. Oh yeah. I'm the alpha of this house. And you play with me or any of them other little ones, it's going down. You say, that dog crazy. But there come a place in our time where we holding each other. Well, my dogs will do this. When a dog put his hands like this and he lay back, it means I surrender. It means I surrender. I'm good. You won. I'm good. It's his way of tapping out. You got me. God is waiting for some of y'all to tap out. He's waiting for some of y'all to say, I surrender. Because you got some areas in your life where you holding on to it. He want it out of your life. He wants some things in you. You not letting him do it. Amen. And y'all fighting each other. And sometimes he got to grab us. Sometimes he got to bite us. I make the noise too, Jen. I do. Look at your neighbor and say, surrender. Look at your other neighbor and say, tap out. I give up. And it be the strongest ones that he have the most trouble with. See, oh God, tapping out means I trust you. When a dog do like that, it means he ain't fighting no more. And he put his neck back like to say, you do what you want to do with me. Some of y'all are so strong, so stubborn, so rebellious. You don't know how to just lay down. Just lay down. Just don't move. Don't try to take nobody's hands off. Don't just lay down. You are not in control. You understand what I'm saying? Say that with me. I am not in control. You have been in control of everything else in your life. When it comes to God, you are not in control. And God had to teach Paul that. He had to teach him. See, when Jesus talks about the rock, he said, listen, he said, those of them that don't get it, the rock gonna fall on them and ground them like a powder. He said, but for those that fall on the rock, it's the good news, but watch this. Those that fall on the rock shall be broken. Let him break you. Like a good horse, let him break you. You see? So Paul came preaching Perga. And to my dismay, I'm looking and saying, man, I'm ready to see him preaching Perga. Wow, what a message this is going to be. I get another message when I open up Perga. A message of sweet surrender. A message of sweet submission. You see? A message of Paul saying, not my will, but your will be done. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Listen, we're going to stop right there. I got more, but it's going to be for next time. You know, it's going to be for next time. So if we can get, amen, our brother Carlos on the keys to come. Amen. I feel like this is a good place. Amen. And I got some of point two left, but the rest of point two goes with point three, because we're going to look at Paul's journey from Perga into the province of Galatia and how that journey was. We're going to take that trip with him and see what happens on that trip. You see? But where are you this morning? Have you surrendered all to him? The first place it starts is giving your life to Christ. See, that was Paul's problem all his life. He was always just one-track minded. He went after something and he just went. Even though God would try to tell him, Paul, you got to be able to move with me, Paul. And so even when he was persecuting the church, thought he was doing God's work, sign after sign Jesus would give him, God would give him, he still just went headlong into making havoc of God's bride, of his house. Then a day came where Jesus knocked him off his horse, smote him with blindness for 3 days, and say, Paul, Paul, why do you kick against the goads? Why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you fighting me when all I want to do is bless you? There's somebody in this very room this morning, running from God, wrestling with God, fighting God. You're like a Paul. And trouble brought you here this morning. Trouble ushered you to the very seat you're in. Now I want to tell you, give daddy what he want. Give him what he want. Surrender to him. And Jonah, the fish going to spit you out on dry land. Surrender to him. And the trouble going to be over. At least momentarily. So if there's somebody here, amen, you're not saved, you want to be saved, salvation is easy. You admit you're a sinner like we all are. You believe in Yahshua Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection on the third day. And you confess him. You open your mouth and you confess him as Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you search for him with all your heart, God says, I shall be found of you. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it's going to be open to you. God is not playing hide and seek this morning. He wants you more than you want him. You just got to call upon him. But then we have some Christians. Some Christians in the valley of the shadow of death. In the struggle. Fighting the thorn and the flesh and don't know why trouble is on their life right now. Got a word for you. He wants it all. He wants it all. He don't want half of you. He wants all of you in every area. And you're going to have to surrender to him. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants it all. Saved, or you're going through something, but somehow God spoke to you, you got your answer. Come on to this altar. Come on to this altar. If you're ready to give him all so you can come out of your valley, come and give it to him. Give it to him. Come and give it to him. Come and give it to him. Come and give it to him. Well, if I could sing They'd Be in Trouble, Carlos, I'd be singing that song, boy. Grace, you remember the words to that? Marina, you know that one? Know that one. I can't see. Is anybody saying they know that one? That's good. She good right there. Love me. Come on.
Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today.
Come on, come on.
Bow down.
Bow down.
Let go of your idols.
Let go of your idols. Halloween is over for us, y'all. Hey.
He wants it all today.
Let's go back to love me. Love me. That's it, Jean.
Love me with your whole heart.
That's where she's comfortable.
He wants it all today.
Hey, God.
Serve me.
Serve me.
Serve me with your life.
With your life.
He wants it all today.
Hey.
Bow down.
Bow down.
Let go of your idols. He wants it all today.
Thank you.
He wants it all today.
Give God some glory in his house. Time to let go of the idols. Time to let go of the pagan ways. Amen. And sometimes, y'all, we can be our own idol. Stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry. Here we go. We're going to pray. Say, God,
I'm
ready to give you all. I know I've made some mistakes, and I'm sorry for my sins. But I believe that you love me, and your plans for me are good. I'm ready. I give it all to you. My past, my present, and my future. I give it all to you. I don't know how to let go of some of the stuff I'm doing. It's been with me a long time. But I know you have the answer. And I'm willing today to allow you to help me move to this next level. I surrender all to you. Forgive me. Save me. Use me and bless me in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him glory. Ooh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. 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 Woo! Bless you. My God, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Woo! Bless you. Bless you. Shalom. Bless you with shalom. Bless you with shalom.
Love me with your
shalom.
Whole
bless you.
Heart.
Shalom.
He wants it all today.
Bless you. Shalom.
Serve me.
Shalom.
Serve me with your life now. He wants it all.